I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, 2 hours a day, 9 to 11 o'clock. Appreciate you joining me today. Lots to get to. Next hour, as we do every Friday, we'll have False Flag Friday. We're looking at the path, the march, the public march, right in front of our faces. None of us are doing anything about it, to World War III. Now, maybe this doesn't happen, but we're trying to make it happen. We're certainly greasing the skids towards a very, very serious worldwide conflict that could be a nuclear war. And I got to tell you, I don't see anybody really caring. It's quite remarkable. Now, I know what the reaction will be when it kicks off. Should it actually happen, we'll probably be pretty upset. But us and, you know, probably many people around the world are just watching this happen because we are all ruled by psychopaths. I actually have the definition of psychopath to bring to you next hour when you look at our Merrick-Aaron foreign policy team. So we'll take a look at what's going on in Ukraine. And I've also got clips, clips of what kind of the average American knows and is so certain about the war that's going on. Between Russia and Ukraine right now, it's an interesting combination of stupidity and certainty. It's a dangerous combination, and it's probably pretty common. I got a couple of clips of that, and then we will finish up with This Week on the Crazy Train. As always, plenty of clips to kick that into gear. Quotes of the day today. Lysander Spooner said, "The principle that the majority have a right to rule the minority practically resolves all government into a mere contest between two bodies of men as to which of them shall be masters and which of them slaves." That's where we are right now. That's really the beauty of a democracy is, what they say, democracy is two wolves and a sheep getting together to decide what you're going to have for dinner. And here's one. I'm going to be accused of being touchy-feely on this one. But it's Friday. I should bring something sweet to the show here. George Orwell in 1984 wrote this. "They fear love because it creates a world they can't control. They fear love because it creates a world they can't control. What they can control and direct is your hatred." And this is why the political system is so disgustingly polarized, and there's so much hatred between people out here because hate they can direct and control. Love, if people actually cared about each other and didn't hate each other and disconnect from each other at the drop of a hat because of a politician or a party or a policy, they couldn't control that. That would be a much tougher time. So they've got us right where they want us, full-on hate. Markets yesterday took a serious prison pounding. I was waiting for the 2 o'clock ramp where maybe the plunge protection team comes in, starts buying futures, and levitates the market. Didn't happen yesterday. Might have been overwhelming selling, or maybe they're deciding to let the market go now. Maybe the elites are out of the market, so they decided to go ahead and pull the plug on this thing. So the markets had a bad day yesterday. Let's take a look and see where they were. They were trending down this morning as I was getting my notes. Oh, yeah, the NASDAQ is down about another 2% today, about 1.25% on the Dow, 1.5% on the S&P 500. So the markets are certainly taking a pounding. The retail investor will be the last one out. The retail investor, and that means you and me, the average person, we are always the last to realize that the game is over. And that always assures that it is the little people who are always left kind of holding the bag. You know, 401ks take the biggest hits during things like this because people never proactively manage a 401k or move between even the choices that they're given because we've been conditioned to this idea that it's always a good time to buy into the stock market. Right now, as the market goes down and people bemoan seeing their 401ks turn in the other direction, they are being advised to people, yeah, but this is now you're buying shares at a cheaper price. It is a fool's errand to really try to time the markets. I'm the worst at it. But the handwriting is on the wall of what's going on right now. Wall Street loves this constant flow of money into the markets by 401k investors. This is what I find kind of almost humorous. 401k, I'm all for people. I'm not a fan of Social Security. I believe you should take your money and do with it, invest it in productive things. But the 401k system is really, it's really quite a boon to Wall Street. Because they know that there's a large chunk of the American people that make automatic contributions. So when Wall Streeters want to exit a market or exit a position, they know there's a bunch of people willing to come in and buy it because they automatically buy into the stock market constantly. But this is we're seeing this play out right now. I think we're seeing the markets begin their dive, their 2008-2009 style dive. I could be absolutely wrong again. But we will see. Why don't people move their money out of their 401ks? Why don't, and you know, I'm not talking about taking the money out, because if you take your money out, this is the government we live under now. If you set aside a bunch of your money and put it into a 401k and it's your money, you've earned it, you've invested it. But if you dare to try to take it out of your 401k, the government comes in and says, oh yeah, now we're taking 10% of it. They just take 10% of your money. If you take money out of a retirement account before they say you can, by this arbitrary rule they've set up at, last I knew, was 59.5, the government just steps in and says, you're 58.5? Oh, no, that's not the rules. We set 59.5, so we're just going to take 10% of your money. And the Americans just say, okay. They just take 10% of your money because you did not live your life according to their plans for you. This is just another one of those busybody ways where the government tells you, you're too stupid. You're too stupid to keep your money into a long-term investment to save for your retirement. So we're going to punish you if you behave in a way contrary to what we believe is best for you. It doesn't matter your reason for taking the money out. We'd say it's not good enough. And they just come in and take 10% of your money. But the reason that people don't even move their money around in 401ks is FOMO. Fear of missing out. It's like gambling. Very interesting phenomenon to see. We're all I can be as guilty of it as anything. I miss out on a ton of things, particularly when it comes to markets, because I've been bearish for about 6 or 7 years now. So you can imagine what I've missed out on. But there's a lot of people who have made good money in the market. God love you. Good for you. You were smarter than me. But they do not want to miss. They want to pick up. What do they say? Pick up dimes before a steamroller. They want to pick up the last little bits of return. They don't dare change their investment portfolio now because they've been doing so well. They think the game goes on forever. So I believe the individual investor, the 401k accounts out there are about to be the ones holding the bag. Had a big jobs report come out, 428,000 new jobs. Now, this is an interesting phenomenon for people who don't follow the stock market. I think this stuff is important. I think it's interesting. Maybe most people don't. Judging by conservative talk radio, there's not a lot of talk about the economy on shows, so I may be dooming myself to a smaller audience to even mention this stuff, but it's interesting. So the economy gains 428,000 jobs in April, and the unemployment rate remains at 3.6%. So the question is, why are the markets down? You know, the markets were down big yesterday, and you would think this good jobs report would come out, and you would think the markets would look at it and say, hey, look at this. The economy is really humming. People are going to work. This is good for business, good for sales, good for everything. Shouldn't the market go up? But that's not the way the market works anymore. The markets are down. And the reason the markets are down is because Wall Street understands that the better the jobs number comes in at, the more possibility that the Federal Reserve raises rates again, because one of their supposed mandates is full employment. So Wall Street says, oh, no, this means the Federal Reserve might raise rates more. They're going to be more inclined to raise rates and to take interest rates up. And we're all, talking about Wall Street and the American consumer, we're all addicted to debt. And when they take interest rates up, that costs us more money to borrow money. When borrowing money is easy and cheap, then markets love it. because we live in a debt-based society, not based on productivity, not based on anything but debt, the ability to get and maintain debt. So when money is easy to get and it's cheap to get, markets go up. If going further into debt becomes more expensive or more difficult, then markets go down. It has absolutely nothing to do with the productivity, nothing to do with the number of people working. It is how much money can the average consumer, how much money can the average corporation, and how much money can the government borrow? And how cheap is it for us to borrow? This does not ever end well historically. I think this is interesting. I look at MarketWatch.com, and just for the headlines, they paywall me out of a whole lot of stories, but I kind of get an overview of stuff. And they've got sections in there I've talked about before where people can ask questions to MarketWatch, and you'll see them on their homepage. They're basically asking, and I always find these things kind of funny, the relationship of people to people and people to money. Here's one question asked by someone who says, quote, "She has no ambition," unquote. "I'm 41 and make $100,000. I'm buying a home before getting married. My fiance earns $50,000 and has $20,000 in student debt. What's a fair prenup?" That's what's on his mind. The guy makes $100,000. We're not talking about somebody who has moved into a relationship with a billionaire here. The guy makes $100,000 and he's going to buy a house. He doesn't want to share this. She doesn't have enough ambition for him, so he wants to make sure he protects all his assets going into the marriage, because heaven forbid he lose, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 in equity in his home in a divorce. This is just, I don't know. I find these things funny. Here's another one. Here's another one about the sad state of affairs of the American these days. Quote, "I can't afford to pay the loan because I'm on a fixed income. I'm a 57-year-old widow with $67,000 in student loan debt. Can you help me get rid of it?" I mean, what in the world? Now, I don't know if this 57-year-old widow has been paying their student loans for 25 years and still has $67,000 in student debt. That's a real possibility. There are people whose student loans outlive them, outlive their natural life these days, because college has gotten so expensive and people will go into such massive amounts of debt to afford it. But what in the world is a 57-year-old widow doing with $67,000 in student loan debt? What could she possibly have done, even later in life, to take on $67,000 in student debt that was going to materially change her income for what is probably the last 8 to 10 years of her working life? We have been sold this debt-based economy. We have been sold a bill of goods on debt. Our grandparents, who were much more frugal and understood these things, were so much smarter than we were. But we have been so attracted by the shiny things that are promised to us if we leverage ourselves up. 57 years old and $67,000 in student loan debt. Can you help me get rid of it? No, but somebody should have helped you never get it in the first place. I've got what I believe is a bit of a thought-provoking piece when I come back here, something just to think about. It's a bit of a contrarian to the narrative that's going around right now, particularly when it comes to free speech in the United States. So we'll talk about that when we come back. This is the Mike Madison Show. Stick around. I'll be right back. I went home with a waitress the way I always do. If you have listened to this show at all before, it is no secret that I'm a bit of a contrarian to a lot of conservative principles. I come to my libertarian beliefs through conservatism. I was a Kool-Aid drinking neocon warmongering Republican for a good period of time. I'm kind of inside the mind of what a lot of conservatives, I'm around conservatives mostly. I had a great conversation with somebody on the left yesterday. Maybe I'll recall that at some point. But above all for this show, I just want to give people something to think about. I don't think that, I think that most people are so in their bubbles that they do not ever kind of think outside the box. I'm also very, you could probably call me cynical and suspicious as well. when I saw the Trump administration forming and the cabinet people going in and the globalist being hired by Trump and the warmongers he was bringing into us, I immediately pointed it out because I was on guard for that stuff. I'm very suspicious. I'm very wary of all of these rosy promises of the elites in this country who tell us that the next person is going to be our savior. I don't believe this. And so I'm always on guard. I voted for Donald Trump in 2016. It took me about 6 weeks to see some of the shaping up of his administration where I initially said it was probably weeks in where I went, uh-oh. Looks like we've got the same situation going on again. As they say, it doesn't matter who you vote for, you end up with John McCain. But this show is about giving you something to think about. It's not Republican red meat radio. I'm a contrarian. It may or may not be popular. I don't know. And to be honest with you, I don't care. I just want something to be thought-provoking. This particular segment here will cause some people some discomfort, especially those who are still looking for a savior. Most people really want, or they need a good guy versus a bad guy narrative so they can have some hope, and it makes it easier on them mentally to, you know, find comfort in a tribe. But I don't do tribes. I'm just an individual. I mean, for me personally, I'm looking for people around me. I surround myself with people with human decency. I don't care what party they're in. I have interesting conversations and fun with just about anybody. But I do want to be left alone when it comes to the government and people who supposedly are the rulers of our society. So for anybody who's just out there looking for a hero, looking for a savior, this might trigger you a little bit. But I think it's something worth considering, or at least being on guard for, so you notice early if something's going off the rails. I hope Elon Musk is seriously a champion of free speech. He's made some great comments. Twitter is obviously used for control. I've got a very funny Twitter censorship story for a little bit later in this show, but Twitter is just a train wreck, and the censorship of conservatives has been horrible. It's just random partisan censorship. It's wrong. And every time a partisan censor is fired at one of these tech companies, I believe that an angel gets its wings. I am a free speech absolutist. Of course, this isn't just on the left. If you recall that Mike Pompeo and Donald Trump actually did the ultimate in censorship when they threw Julian Assange into a prison cell and tried to kill him so that he did not expose deep state secrets. So this is not just a left issue, but when we're talking about social media, we know they all tilt left and they've been censoring conservative voices and really even any voices that went against narratives around COVID or vaccines and a whole host of other things. So I hope that Elon Musk is this savior of the Twitterverse that everybody believes he is. But I ran across a piece. As I say, I'm inclined to kind of look for these things. Maybe they're drawn into me. Maybe I've manifested some of my news feeds sometimes, and I ran across a story. It's by a guy named Ryan Matters. And the title of his piece, just to show you why I clicked on it, Elon Musk, champion of free speech or wolf in sheep's clothing? So we're going to go through a little bit of what he talks about. There's just four categories in here that I don't think people consider when they talk about Elon Musk. I don't know where the truth lies. I hope he's a champion of free speech. He's obviously a very smart guy, but he is the richest man in the world, and these kinds of things come. I've pointed out the fact that Elon Musk is very heavily tied to the federal government for a lot of the wealth that he has acquired. Federal subsidies subsidize his cars. He gets contracts for SpaceX. I'm just a little suspicious, and said it immediately when this announcement was made, that I'm a little suspicious that he would actually take on the true powers behind the scene when they are feathering his nest for him. But maybe he's just gotten this kind of money. He's made indications that he doesn't even care if he goes broke. That's a pretty easy thing to say when you're sitting on a couple $100 billion, but maybe that's the case. I'm open to anything. I don't know. But there's some things to be considered. Here's some from Ryan Matters' piece. Number one, make no mistake, Elon Musk is an out-and-out transhumanist. His company, Neuralink, is currently developing the future of brain interfaces. Musk claims that the short-term goal of Neuralink is to help those with clinical problems and that the long-term goal of Neuralink is to fulfill the transhumanist threat of Dreams, excuse me. Neuralink is to... Freudian slip there. Neuralink is to fulfill the transhumanist dream of human AI symbiosis. This is traced back in this article to Zbigniew Brzezinski, where he said there was a story written about him. Human conduct, some argue, can be predetermined and subjected to deliberate control. Man is increasingly acquiring the capacity to determine the sex of his children, to affect through drugs the extent of their intelligence, and to modify and control their personalities. Speaking of a future at most only decades away, an experimenter in intelligence control asserted, quote, I foresee a time when we shall have the means and therefore inevitably the temptation to manipulate the behavior and intellectual functioning of all people through environmental and biochemical manipulation of the brain. Elon Musk is involved in this quest right now. Maybe he is on the side of angels here and he can use this technology, this new Neuralink technology, only for the good of those who are somehow disabled. But right now, Elon Musk does have part of his business that is combining the human mind with computing technology through his Neuralink. The second part of what Ryan Matters writes about Elon Musk, Musk's grandfather, Joshua Haldeman, was the research director for Technocracy, Inc. in Canada during the 1930s and 40s. Musk himself is continuing his grandfather's work by building out the technocratic control grid within his Starlink network, driverless car technology, and, of course, the pioneering work in artificial intelligence. In 2014, Musk attended the DARPA Robotic Challenge and has spoken numerous times about how robots will take over jobs, leading to the institution of anyone, universal basic income. The story goes on. Ryan Matters, he said, Musk is the founder of a rocket company, SpaceX, and one of his ultimate goals is to colonize Mars. In 2020, SpaceX signed a $102 million contract with the Department of Defense to provide point-to-point transit for cargo via space. According to some researchers, the Great Reset agenda goes hand-in-hand with an effort to move all technology used for financial clearing as well as societal control into space, and it seems the globalists have chosen Musk for the job. SpaceX has applied to launch some 40,000 satellites into low-Earth orbit, 12,000 of which have already been approved, in a plan to provide 5G internet access worldwide. But the utility of such a network goes far beyond consumer 5G. The possible uses include tracking, tracing, financial clearing, and air quotes around defense. In other words, not only does Musk collaborate with the U.S. military, his satellites may very well form the basis for a space-based technocratic control grid. Now, this is where it gets a little funky here. In his fourth, where he calls him an eccentric billionaire, and maybe these are just eccentricities. So check this stuff out. And again, I'm just saying our spidey senses should always be up when somebody incredibly wealthy and incredibly powerful comes onto the scene. My spidey senses were up with Donald Trump, even though I voted for the guy. I had some hope that he was going to come in and upset the apple cart. I was disappointed. Many people are still clinging to the idea that maybe he will make a triumphant return in 2024 and save us all. All we got to do is sit on our butts for a couple more years till our savior returns. Hopefully Musk does present some positive benefit to Twitter, but who is Elon Musk himself? Describing Elon Musk, this is from Ryan Matters' piece, describing Elon Musk as eccentric may be a bit of an understatement. Musk is the father to 8 children in total, his last two with his most recent girlfriend, Grimes, a self-described pagan witch who claims to be able to astral travel to different dimensions. Musk's first male child with Grimes was originally named XEA12. This was later changed to X, and there's that A with the E attached to it, a scientific term. I don't know what it is. XAEA. XII, and then shortened to X, an odd name to say the least. According to Grimes, this is Elon Musk's girlfriend, the X stands for the unknown variable. The A is the Elven spelling of AI, which stands for artificial intelligence, and the original A12 was a nod to the CIA's Lockheed Martin A12 reconnaissance plane stationed at Area 51. She also told a user on Instagram that the name pronounced X and then AI. So the name is XAI. Earlier this year, news broke that Musk had fathered a second child with Grimes named Exa Dark Citadel. According to Grimes, Exa stands for Exaflops, a supercomputing term. So another nod to artificial intelligence. Dark refers to dark matter, and Citadel, a kind of astrology, which, according to Grimes, represents true time of the universe. The name of Musk's last two children perfectly reflect his relationship with Grimes in that they represent the coming together of a technocrat and an occultist, the synthesis of technology and esotericism. The same blending of old and new, of magic and material, could be a familiar concept to anyone who has studied transhumanism. So I just thought this was a little interesting. There are things about Elon Musk that should have people just a tiny bit suspicious. Ryan Mattergus goes into the idea that this is another good cop, bad cop ploy. I don't know. I do not know. But it is always good to have the full picture rather than just falling in love with another savior, which is what I see people do constantly. I know a lot of people who are against transhumanism and things like that that are flocking back to Twitter just waiting for the great savior to come in. I've gotten more followers in the last few weeks. This is kind of interesting to me, too. I wonder how many of these new followers everyone seems to be getting is the unlocking of Twitter accounts, or how many of it is they're just unleashing bots on people. I don't know. I don't know enough about Twitter to know. Ryan Mattergus finishes with this. It's quite clear that Musk's on board with the whole technocratic transhuman agenda. So why are all of a sudden being cast as a champion of democracy and free speech? Simple. The globalists are playing the good cop, bad cop. Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, the Rockefellers, etc. are the bad guys, and Musk is the good guy who has come along to offer humanity a better way forward. There's only one problem. Schwab's vision for the future and Musk's vision for the future are exactly the same. The path to getting there may be different, but the destination hasn't changed. So why choose Musk to play the role of the good cop? First of all, he's got the right personality. He's eccentric, and he's already worshipped as a genius of our time. Secondly, he's not associated with either the political right or left, and thus he appeals equally to people on both sides of the spectrum. Well, it's a good thing that banned accounts have returned to Twitter and that freedom of speech on the platform has supposedly been restored. It's important to stay cautious before bowing down to Musk as some sort of a savior. In fact, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't trust Elon Musk to tell me the time in a room full of clocks. So there's some things. We've got a billionaire oligarch coming in and saying that they're telling the people on the right, and they seem to be really falling in love with the guy pretty hard. I'm just warning you. I hate to see you get burned again. I would view this with some level of skepticism. Enjoy your free speech on Twitter. I do hope that that takes place. More conversation is better than less. Of course, this is going to result in just more screaming at each other. Social media and Twitter being very, very toxic places for humans to dwell. But we will see. If you fall in love at your own peril, I've told you, it's a Mike Madison maxim. Never fall in love with a politician. Well, I would say the same thing for anybody entering the social media world. Be right back. Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Look, I'm somebody who's been burned. I'm like a spurned lover, suspicious of the next person that comes around. I have just witnessed, I'm old enough now, most of us are. Doesn't take long to realize that people will tell you exactly what you want to hear. But they have a different purpose for doing it. The gainer, power, profit, whatever it is. It's very easy to say things to get people to go along with you. I could have come on this radio show and just really probably done much better for myself, just constantly just being pro-Trump and telling you how smart you were for voting for Donald Trump. I mean, that's what conservative radio is built on, the bubble. and just knocking around in the bubble and telling us all how all smart we are. I'm just somebody who is so suspicious of people in power that I don't know if there's a value to that or if it's off-putting to people. I know it can be uncomfortable to think that maybe we were wrong about something, but I'm always going to put things out there. Another thing I've been suspicious about is the timing of this release of the Supreme Court decision, or the opinion, I guess is a better way to say. They haven't made a decision yet, but the opinion. There are people who have pointed to a couple of things, and I don't know if there's any legitimacy to these, but it is interesting. This opinion was written apparently back in February. I didn't know that originally when I heard it. FDR, I read a quote from him. I'm going to slightly paraphrase, but this is pretty dead on to what FDR said back in the 1930s. He said, "There are no accidents in politics. If it happens, you can be sure it was planned that way." So this opinion has been out there. They say there's about 70 people who have access to these things. The opinion's been out there for quite a period of time, for a couple of months now, but it's released now. Now, there are some suspicions. I'll tell you what some people's theories are. It was time for when Dinesh D'Souza's 2000 Mules movie was released in I think it was 250 theaters across the country. This might have actually generated some news on the malfeasance that went on during the 2020 elections. Have you heard anything about that whatsoever? Of course not. We are only talking about the Roe versus Wade thing. But there was also another thing that some people are saying. This was this time, or coincidentally, maybe, it came out at the exact same time that Pfizer had to make their biggest document dump so far on the vaccines. Now, I do not know. I'm not somebody who tells you this is why they did it. The certainty of people to grasp on to some theory, either one of the things I'm talking about could be possible and could be absolutely nothing. I am very aware that I have no earthly idea exactly what's going on. I just know that I don't trust these people. And sometimes these things seem suspicious. So Pfizer did a big document dump. You know, the judge has forced them to release tens of thousands of pages a month rather than the 500 they wanted to release over the next 75 years. And so that is also a suspicion. I'm going to play a clip on that in just a second. But this was an interesting exchange. The justices of the Supreme Court are now being targeted. They're needing security. Obviously, the protesters are going after their homes. So what does the White House say?
Just about moving forward, these activists posted a map with the home addresses of the Supreme Court justices. Is that the kind of thing this president wants to help your side make their point?
Look, I think the president's view is that there's a lot of passion, a lot of fear, a lot of sadness from many, many people across this country about what they saw in that leaked document.
So this is the White House going, oh, it's just passion. It's just passion. You can imagine, should conservatives, I mean, was January 6th not just passion? A lot of concern about elections and the integrity of the federal government in Washington, D.C. That's exactly what January 6th was. It was a whole heap and steam of passion. Yet that's viewed as obviously a dangerous, violent insurrection of a bunch of American traitors. This surrounding the Supreme Court justices on this decision, the White House says it's just passion. It's just passion. But I'm going to take a break real quick and then I'm going to come back. As I said, they've released a big tranche of the Pfizer safety data. Safety, I guess I should air quotes here in the studio. These safety trials. And some interesting news has started to come out of these things. I think it was, let me see if I have it listed here. It was a large number of documents. I believe maybe 75,000 pages of Pfizer documents were dumped. And there was one thing that was really striking in there. And boy, has it probably caused a lot of sadness around this country over the last 2 years. We'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with
me. Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
Now, one thing about my theory that they have released the Supreme Court decision to distract us away from the largest Pfizer dump of documents on their safety testing, the flaw in that theory is that, well, the media wasn't going to cover it anyway. They weren't going to cover anything that's damaging to this narrative of safe and effective vaccines anyway. So why do they need to distract the American people? They're not going to report on it anyway. And so that may not be the reason that the timing of this Supreme Court opinion was released at all. But the documents are coming. I turned to somebody on the left that I really like, and that is Naomi Wolf. Naomi Wolf is doing great job battling people on the left, battling for their hearts and minds on the left who have just fallen in love with the pharmaceutical companies. She's working her side of the aisle, of course, or the woke left has come after her and just brutalized her, but she's being consistent. She's going where her heart takes her. So Naomi Wolf, thank goodness, there's 75,000 pages of Pfizer documents. I don't have the time, nor probably the scientific background to parse through the information, but Naomi Wolf is staying on top of these things. And here's what came out. One particularly sad thing about what Pfizer, Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, Operation Warp Speed has done to people in this country. And I know a lot of people have suffered bad effects because of this. But when it comes to pregnant and nursing mothers, check out the safety data testing that was done on them.
What I'm about to share is probably the most disturbing and the most important. Basically, this report written by a female physician analyzing the documents shows that pregnant women were excluded from the trials before they concluded it was safe and effective. They concluded it was safe and effective based on mice and the autopsies of mice fetuses, and that horrifically the Department of Defense data shows that female soldiers' pregnancies are experiencing an absolutely catastrophic rate of abnormalities and fetal problems. So it's so important. I'm just going to read it. It's super fast. She says, to date, there have not been any human clinical trials. This is really real, what you're hearing, conducted by a COVID-19 vaccine pharmaceutical company to determine if vaccines are safe during pregnancy or while breastfeeding. All emergency use authorizations exclude pregnant women, and no COVID-19 vaccine has been approved for use during pregnancy. Astonishingly, however, she says, many professional organizations have strongly advocated despite that pregnant women get this vaccine, despite any lack of safety data. And what she points out is, thanks to the court-ordered release of the confidential Pfizer documents, which the FDA wanted sealed for 75 years, we have learned that pregnant women and breastfeeding mothers were excluded from phase 1, 2, and 3 of the human trials. One recently released Pfizer document lists 21 groups of people who are excluded from all phases of the Pfizer trials and specifically singles out, quote, women who are pregnant and breastfeeding as not able to participate in any of the trials. And she gives the citation. Despite this, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine, all of these obstetrics and gynecological organizations were strong advocates for vaccinating pregnant and lactating women. And even though none were approved, how, she asks, could they possibly be promoting an experimental untested vaccine for pregnant women? As it turns out, their clinical recommendations are based on a faulty study conducted on a few dozen rats in France.
You know, I am more cautious with recommending vitamin D on my health show every Wednesday than the medical establishment has been in taking an untested, brand new, experimental technology and injecting it into the arms of women with children, into the arms of women who are breastfeeding children. I say things all the time during my health show. Now, some, you know, high-dose vitamin D may interfere with some medications you might need to do. You know, I mean, I equivocate on a lot of things. Ketogenic diet, I talk about on my health show, but I say it's not for everybody. You experiment with it and just see how it goes. I will at least let you know that even though these almost completely harmless nutritional strategies may not be right for everybody, yet you've got a medical establishment that went out and told every pregnant woman, oh, sure, this is safe and effective for you too. They didn't study it on them at all. Zero. Now, why wouldn't they? Right? If it's safe and effective, why wouldn't they throw them into the study group? did they suspect that maybe there'd be a problem and they would get some pretty bad news on that? So it was better to just not do the testing. I mean, they didn't really test these things for any period of time whatsoever on anybody. A couple of months. But for pregnant women, not even that. For nursing mothers, not even that. And you can go to OpenVares and see the number of miscarriages that have been reported, the problems with breastfed infants after this shot. Pfizer didn't even study it on there, but that did not stop Thomas Dobbs from recommending this for pregnant women. It did not stop the hospitals from recommending it for pregnant women. It did not stop local doctors from recommending it for pregnant women. It didn't stop OBGYNs for telling these women that they should have some level of a bond with as they are expecting a child to rush out and take this experimental gene therapy. Now, I would say a lot of these doctors just drank the Kool-Aid. They don't even know that Pfizer didn't study on that. They listen to Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci and the FDA and the CDC tell you it's safe and effective, and they take their word for gospel. They did not include a single pregnant woman in this safety testing and yet still recommended it to all of them.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Yeah.
What is it good for?
Absolutely
nothing.
Say it again, y'all.
Whoa.
Look out.
What is it good for?
All right, it is that time of the week here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, where we take a look at what I'm calling the Americaran foreign policy. America is the hysterical Karen around the world, always screaming that to see the manager. Everything that happens is always something's wrong with it. When somebody does something we don't like, we need to make sure we make as big a deal out of it as possible. So we do that. I don't like to break the sacred walls of my varying segments here on this show, particularly this one that I think is so important. But I did want to mention one other thing about basically kind of summarizing Twitter. As I tell people, just to cast a cautious eye on Elon Musk. I guess that's what I'm saying. Just be careful who you fall in love with. But when it comes to Twitter and to the vaccine stuff, I just thought this was pretty funny. A group that has a Twitter account, you've probably seen this if you're conservative, Breaking 911, they've got a Twitter account. And so they put out a story, and everything that they do starts off with breaking. Says, breaking, FDA restricts J&J's COVID-19 vaccine due to blood clot risk. Underneath that, Twitter puts their warning label, misleading. Learn why health officials consider COVID-19 vaccines safe for most people. So they put a warning on this account for Breaking 911 because they run this headline. The problem is that The Hill, this is the actual story. The FDA did limit use of J&J vaccine over rare blood clots, but Twitter still has to flag it. Food and Drug Administration on Thursday announced that it is limiting the authorization for Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine to people who cannot or will not get other versions of the vaccine, citing risk of rare blood clots. So, trust me, I am no Twitter fan. Elon Musk hopefully is a breath of fresh air there for free speech, but as I say, tread with caution. So when we get to foreign policy stuff and False Flag Friday, which I do every Friday to explain to you that you've been lied into every single war during your entire lifetime. I say that without reservation to anybody who's listening to the show. This was a tweet sent out by someone that goes by Black in the Empire. He said, there were no babies thrown out of incubators in Kuwait, no Libyan soldiers given Viagra to rape, no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, Assad didn't use chemical weapons on his own people, we weren't winning in Afghanistan, Russia was provoked, and Ukraine isn't winning. The end. I think I could get along with this guy, Black in the Empire. Thomas Massey had also put out a tweet where he said, Congress was spending about $50 billion per year in Afghanistan before it ended. Congress has spent almost $40 billion in Ukraine this year. For perspective, all U.S. federal highway and bridge spending adds up to about $50 billion per year. So when you complain about the roads and bridges in the United States, understand you've given it over to the psychopaths in our foreign policy establishment. And unfortunately, for the majority of my life, conservatives have actually cheered for it. As Ron Paul wrote, he said, one group of special interest profiting massively on the war is the U.S. military-industrial complex. Raytheon CEO Greg Hayes recently told a meeting of shareholders that, quote, everything that's being shipped into Ukraine today, of course, is coming out of stockpiles either at DOD or from NATO allies, and that's all great news. Eventually, we'll have to replenish it, and we will see a benefit to the business. Ron Paul goes on to write, he wasn't lying. Raytheon, along with Lockheed Martin and countless others, weapons manufacturers, are enjoying a windfall they have not seen in years. The U.S. has committed more than $3 billion in military aid to Ukraine. They call it aid, but it's actually corporate welfare. Washington sending billions to arms manufacturer for weapons sent overseas. By many accounts, these shipments of weapons like the Javelin anti-tank missile, jointly manufactured by Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, are getting blown up as soon as they arrive in Ukraine. This doesn't bother Raytheon at all. The more weapons blown up by Russia in Ukraine, the more new orders come from the Pentagon. Former Warsaw Pact countries, now members of NATO, are in on the scam as well. They've discovered how to dispose of their 30-year-old Soviet-made weapons and receive modern replacements from the U.S. and other Western NATO countries. The war profiteering on this particular conflict is off of the charts. And what's really sick, and we'll get into in just a few minutes, is what the average American's view is of what's going on over there. But we are seeing what looks like, and I hope I'm wrong, there was a lot of worry during the Cuban Missile Crisis that something could kick off. Certainly during the 1980s. I think it's time people to dust off the old copies of The Day After. Did you see that movie? It was a very hard-hitting movie at the time in the 1980s when everybody was concerned about nuclear war with the Soviet Union. And this was basically a show about the day after the nukes start going off and we saw mushroom clouds in the United States. It was pretty powerful to a lot of Americans who it brought home a little bit of the seriousness of what life might actually look like should this thing kick off. We might want to take a look at it again to understand how serious this is, because the actions of the foreign policy establishment here in the United States, the psychopaths, I'll diagnose them in a second, could actually lead us to this end. First, we're publicly sending weapons and money into Ukraine to be used to kill Russian soldiers. They tell us we're not at war. The Biden administration will say, no, we're not engaged in a war. But they very, very publicly announce these big aid packages and weapons packages and endless streams of Republicans and Democrats, because they're both in the war party, go out and talk about the need to ship javelins and tanks and all of this advanced weaponry over to Ukraine to kill as many Russians as possible. That's the first thing we do. Then there was this. The United States provided intelligence to Ukraine that was used to kill a number of high-ranking military officers, according to a report by the New York Times. The intelligence, including electronic eavesdropping and assistance in tracking Russian mobile headquarters, helped Ukraine forces target the majority of the 12 Russian generals killed since the invasion began on February 24th, the New York Times reported Wednesday, citing senior American officials. This is always funny to me. The classified program uses a variety of sources to provide Ukraine with information on everything from troop movements to targeting data. Well, it sure as hell isn't very, very classified, because we have got psychopaths in Washington, D.C. that want this war, and they want this war to get bigger. I have explained 100 times to you this could be solved in an afternoon by saying Ukraine will not join NATO, we'll stop sending them offensive weapons, and the Russians, ethnic Russians in the east of Ukraine, are protected and can decide their own fate. It'd be over in an afternoon. We've made no attempts to do that. But for a classified program, they sure do talk about it a lot, don't they? I got that information there off of the Daily Caller, a conservative website, and I found it interesting. I always do this, go down to the comment section on this. Here's what a couple of conservatives said, and I agree with them, on Daily Caller. One of the posters said, how many global crimes does our president need to commit before we are all punished for it? Another commenter said, great idea spreading this news around. And they're both exactly right. We are sitting here crowing about killing Russians, which obviously are acts of war to Russia. They have said that if outside forces come in this conflict, that they will be held accountable too. And we are bragging about it. We are waving a red flag in front of Russia, daring them to expand and attack American weapons shipments or anything. But I'm going to guess hypocrisy has nowhere to hide on this show. So I'm going to guess that these same Daily Caller posters and a lot of conservatives who can agree with me, the insanity of America trying to continue to provoke Russia. I've asked it before. How long would we have stood with Russia sending weapons to the Taliban to kill American soldiers? It was the United States, NATO forces against the Taliban. And that was what the conflict was between. If Russia had been announcing, hey, we're going to send $30 billion worth of weapon to the Taliban so that they can kill a bunch of Americans, you can't imagine the shrieking that would have come out of Washington, D.C. and NATO headquarters. They would have called that a war crime. Russia has no business in this. But we expect we can do what others cannot, apparently. And I'm just wondering how many of these Daily Caller and how many conservatives who understand the danger of crowing about sending these weapons to Ukraine, knowing it's a provocation. How many of you also cheered when Donald Trump assassinated a sitting general in the Iranian army? See, I told you, hypocrisy cannot hide on this show. What they are doing right now risks a wider war where many, many, many more innocent people will be killed for no good reason. And targeting and assassinating Soleimani under the Trump administration risk a wider war that could have killed a whole bunch of extra innocent people. As it turned out, that strike on Soleimani back in the day when we assassinated him, and then Donald Trump went out and bragged about it very publicly. Oh, yeah, we took him out. The only consequence from that ended up being a bunch of U.S. soldiers were pretty badly injured in the retaliatory attack from Iran. So I guess that's some kind of a win. It was just our troops that suffered the consequence of it, and not to mention the fact that this General Soleimani from Iran kind of got his bones by actually fighting ISIS. And we took him out. So anyway, we are bragging about those things, and then there's this. It's not enough that we're providing them all these weapons. It's not enough that we helped take out some of their generals and are crowing about it. Very, very loudly expressing this less than 24 hours after the New York Times issued a provocative report citing unnamed U.S. officials who are celebrating that American intelligence sharing with the Ukraine military has helped take out multiple Russian generals since the February 24th invasion. NBC News is out with yet another bombshell claim sourced to U.S. intelligence officials amid what seems escalation after escalation and new revelations of Washington's deepening and perhaps increasingly direct role in fighting Russia and Ukraine. NBC brings us this doozy. Quote, intelligence shared by the U.S. helped Ukraine sink the Russian cruiser Moskva. U.S. officials told NBC News, confirming an American role in perhaps the most embarrassing blow to Vladimir Putin's troubled invasion of Ukraine. As a reminder of just how hugely significant the claim is and just how dangerous in terms of representing a massive escalation, the Moskva was considered the flagship of Russia's Black Sea Fleet, had 510 crewmen on board before Neptune anti-cruise missiles scored a direct hit in mid-April. So now we are crowing about the fact we took down their flagship, and the same people are telling you, we're not at war. We're not putting our troops over there. We're not at war. This is just a struggle. We're just trying to help those Ukrainians, but we are talking about this, screaming it from the rooftops. They are trying to bait Russia into attacking a NATO convoy full of weapons so they can have this, what is it called, casus belli, a reason to enter this war, for NATO to enter this war and kick this into high gear. Every person listening to me should be on the phone with Roger Wicker, Cindy Hyde-Smith, Michael Guest, or whoever your elected representative is, and tell them in no uncertain terms to stop this insanity right now. But we won't. We will wait. We haven't been attacked before here in the United States, save the 9/11 attacks that Saudi Arabia sponsored, but we haven't been attacked. We will just pretend it's not happening. We will just ignore it. And then if they let this thing go too far, we will all bemoan the fact that Russia has attacked us, that this is such a disgusting thing. Psychopath. I got this definition. I keep referring to the people in Washington, D.C. as psychopaths. I mean that very literally. I don't mean just they're bad people, they're corrupt, I don't like them. I mean there's something wrong with these people mentally. They have got constantly, in all of these conflicts, millions of people's lives hang in the balance of these things. The people forced out of Syria over nothing. Syria did nothing to the United States, yet we devastated their towns and took millions of them and displaced them, not to mention the ones we've killed. People being murdered in Yemen right now. The people of Iraq and Afghanistan, who the innocent people in those areas, whether they were ruled by horrible people or not, our involvement caused a great deal of misery to these people. But we have got a class of people that we have allowed to run the show that do not care about any of those things. They care about oil. They care about power. They care about pleasing weapons manufacturers. Here are the definition, or here are the descriptions of a psychopath. And I just ask you to just consider this before I take a break. And think about the actions of the people in Washington, D.C. Socially irresponsible behavior. Disregarding or violating the rights of others. Inability to distinguish between right and wrong. Difficulty with showing remorse or empathy. I think of Madeleine Albright, who when asked if 500,000 dead Iraqis during the 1990s was worth it, and she goes, yeah, we think it's worth it. You don't think that's a psychopath? That one is roasting in hell, looking up at me right now, so maybe there is some just desserts for Madeleine Albright. Tendency to lie often. There's a slam dunk. Manipulating and hurting others. Now, this one is a little odd for this class of people. One of the traits of a psychopath is recurring problems with the law. Well, not for these guys, because they are the law, or they are above the laws that pertain to, you know, us and to other countries. They routinely commit war crimes while shrieking about other countries committing war crimes. We don't even acknowledge the International Crimes Tribune or whatever it is in The Hague. We just pretend it doesn't exist, because we know if we ever acknowledged it, then George W. Bush, Dick Cheney would have already been on trial, as would Barack Obama and Donald Trump and Joe Biden. So we pretend it doesn't exist. So recurring problems with the law. They should have problems with the law, but they don't. And then this one, general disregard towards safety and responsibility. And that's what they have right now, is they are crowing right in the face of Russia. Look what we're doing to you. We sunk your ship. We killed your generals. We're sending $33 billion worth of weapons and other goodies into Ukraine to kill more of you people. That is a general disregard towards safety and responsibility, and they do it every day. When it comes to war stuff, I believe partisanship is one of the most dangerous elements in there, particularly when both parties are the war party. Americans are so... When you invest yourself in a party or a politician, then you just can't say they're wrong, because you feel like it makes you look stupid somehow. It's kind of a weird thing. I'm sure I fell for it, too, for a period of time. I would imagine Michael Guest, I've heard he's been out making kind of campaign stops. You know, he's been visiting a lot of things. They come home to make sure that they lock up your vote. I would imagine there's been a whole lot of talk about the Russia situation and helping those poor Ukrainians. I'd be curious. I could be wrong. I doubt Michael Guest has brought up the 2014 overthrow of the Ukrainian government, the Russia-friendly Ukrainian government by the United States. I bet he leaves that out of his talking points. He may not even know about it, because he's just going to do whatever leadership tells him to do, and his leadership is the war party. But what's aggravating to me, or what's, I think, dangerous or unfortunate, I don't know what phrase to use, is the certainty of Americans without any knowledge. They think they've got knowledge because their politician, their network, Fox News says, Jack Keane on Fox News says, and he's a retired general, so he must know. You just don't know that Jack Keane sits on the board of directors of four different defense contractors. They don't tell you that. But it is certainty and stupidity. I don't know if it's stupidity or ignorance. There is a difference. But it is the certainty yet stupidity of Americans that have us putting up with the foreign policy of the United States. There's a couple of callers to C-SPAN I ran across clips of. I'll just show you what I'm talking about.
Line for Independence. Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, sir.
As far as I'm concerned, the red line was passed, was already gotten to as soon as Russia invaded Ukraine. Don't forget how many years ago we said this would never happen again. I think the whole world needs to get together and stop this guy. The guy's a lunatic. He's nothing but another Hitler.
So, Bob, you would be, you're ready to send...
Why, on.
You're ready to send U.S. troops now?
I think the whole world ought to get together and go now. They should have done that as soon as they invaded Ukraine. It should have happened back when Trump was president, when they first went over into Crimea and stuff.
Bob, that was back in 2014, but take your point on red lines and when those are crossed. That's what we're asking. Red lines.
Yeah, so this guy really has no idea the history of this conflict whatsoever, but you hear the certainty in his voice. He's ready to commit us to war. His voice sounds like he probably is a little too old to go over there and serve himself, but he is, like me when I was young, ready to send other people's kids over there, even though he has none of the facts surrounding this. He doesn't know when Russia went into Crimea or why they went into Crimea. He probably doesn't know that 90% of the people in Crimea voted to be a part of Russia, not Ukraine. This is another caller, and this is just what is so dangerous. And you know, I don't call car shows and tell them what somebody should do about a car problem. You know why? Because I'm ignorant about car repair. Yet when it comes to things like foreign policy and politics, people with basically no basis of real information, just talking points they got from their favorite network, they feel like they're qualified. They think they understand these things. I would sound like a bumbling idiot. Yeah, I think you need to change the Johnson rod for sure. Well, people would immediately know that was just full of garbage. I don't think the Johnson rod exists. So I don't call it, but these are people who believe that they know so much about these conflicts that they're willing to call a national call-in show, get on TV and tell what we need to do with no, absolutely no knowledge of what created the conflict in the first place. Here's another one of those.
Is Bradley, Marietta, Georgia, Democrat. Good morning.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, my red line, I would say that Russia has already crossed it. I mean, they have shot down civilian airliners. They have
never proved,
you know, conspired with political parties all across
never proved
Europe, but also in America as well. They poison people with radioactive material.
Never proved.
Vladimir Putin is a clear and present danger, and he has to be like taken out. And then I look at it as we are in a situation where. Imagine in 1939, if we could have went into Czechoslovakia and stopped Hitler there and fought that battle there. Just imagine what, like, you know, the world we live in today. This is what we're going through right now. Russia and basically anyone who works with him, they are kleptocrats. They're thugs, man, and they just have to be taken out.
So, Bradley, this AUMF that we're talking about that spurred this discussion is allowing the president to use U.S. forces to restore the territorial integrity of Ukraine. You're talking about something a lot further. You're talking about regime change when it comes to Russia, expanding the war beyond Ukraine. That's what you want to do?
Absolutely. I do not want to do it. This is something that we are being forced to do. And we're like, they've already started the war. The war's been going on for years. These people are out to destroy us.
He's right. It's been going on for years. For 30 years, NATO has been moving closer and closer and closer to Russia, and Russia kept saying, stop doing that. Please stop doing that. We really need you to stop doing that. You're going to stop it. We're going to act if you don't stop it. Please stop it. This is the average American. So sure and so certain, willing to call a national radio show and spout stuff with obviously no basis in knowledge of what's led us to where we are right now. And why? Now, that was on the Democrat line, so there's a lot of people, yeah, so stupid Democrats. They don't understand anything. Why? It's because of people like this. This is Congressman Mike McCaul. He's a Republican from Texas.
The concerns that these attacks on Russia could actually lead to a wider war, maybe even retaliation with nuclear weapons.
That's always a concern. The short-range tactical nukes is always... We discussed that with NATO when I was there. You know, they brought the butcher of Syria in to fight this, the second phase of this war. He's a very frightening man. He dropped barrel-busting bombs in Syria on civilians and chemical weapons with Assad.
And this is never proven. As a matter of fact, those were shown, those chemical attacks on the people. This guy knows this. This is a Republican congressman from Texas, Mike McCaul. He knows that Assad didn't drop those chemical weapons on his own people. it was actually radical jihadists that did to get the United States to intervene. It makes much more logical sense than Assad doing. This guy knows this. But this is where partisans get their talking points from and get this bloodthirsty. We've become this Christian nation of bloodthirsty warmongers. It's very bizarre that these corrupt people have led us that astray. But this is Mike McCall. And obviously he's on ABC, right? A Republican on ABC. ABC is a left-leaning network, not when it comes to war. They're all together on war and death and defense contracts.
In Syria to kill civilians. What would happen if a chemical weapon was dropped in Ukraine and or a short-range tactical nuke? The question there is, would the world idly sit back and watch that happen without doing anything?
What should we do?
I just find it hard to believe. And when I talk to the Secretary General of NATO, their job is really to defend NATO, not trigger Article 5. But in my judgment, that's beyond the pale. That crosses a red line. And I think if that happens, we would have to respond in kind.
There you go. There's Mike McCall, your Republican. He got an R behind his name, that red state of Texas. He believes that, yeah. So what they're doing is they're telling Russia, we're going to send all these weapons in. We're going to send all this money in. We're already killing your generals. We took out your flagship, trying to provoke, as you know, make this as painful for Russia as possible to where a nuke maybe is used so that we can kick off our nukes too. And you just heard him say we should respond in kind. This is such sick stuff. And I'm going to just finish with this. This one's almost funny. Almost funny. Just in the hypocrisy of the year award so far in 2022. You know, the WNBA player is being detained in Russia right now. They'll explain to you. We've talked about this before, but there's been an investigation into the detaining of this WNBA star in Russia, and they've come to a conclusion.
We begin with WNBA star Brittany Griner being wrongfully detained in Russia. At least that's the determination of the U.S. State Department 11 weeks after her arrest. Griner has been held since February. She's accused of carrying vape cartridges with hashish oil in her luggage. Griner was in Russia to play for a pro basketball team. The WNBA opens its season on Friday, and teams are placing a decal on their courts in Griner's honor.
So there you go. The U.S. State Department has determined that this girl is wrongfully detained in Russia. So I guess the U.S. State Department is telling you, feel free to take all the drugs you want to on any plane at any time you want to go. And if somebody tries to stop you, you tell them, hey, the State Department's already determined. You're wrongfully detaining me. It's a hell of a thing for the United States to fight this ridiculous drug war and put millions and millions of people into cages for carrying drugs. But when Russia does it, it's wrongful detainment. That's Hypocrisy of the Year award so far. Be right back.
What's your frequency? Can it be shot? Benzodrine.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're about to put another week in the books. Unbelievably, time is flying by, as always. And I finish up each week with my Friday segment of the last two segments, which is this week on the Crazy Train.
All aboard!
I actually have an absolutely wonderful clip in the response to the opinion on Roe versus Wade from Anna Kasparian at Young Turks. But I got to edit it. I was listening to it during the break, and unfortunately she throws a FCC naughty word, a no-no word in there, so I can't play it. So, unfortunately, I'll save that one. She goes into quite the hysterics. There have been a lot of those, most notoriously in reaction to the leaked opinion. Elizabeth Warren lost her ever-loving mind.
How are you feeling? I am angry. Angry and upset and determined. The United States Congress can keep Roe versus Wade the law of the land. They just need to do it.
I've never seen you so angry. You seem to be.
This is what the Republicans have been working toward this day for decades. They have been out there plotting, carefully cultivating these Supreme Court justices so they could have a majority on the bench who would accomplish something that the majority of Americans do not want. 69% of people across this country,
across this country, red states and blue states, old people and young people want Roe versus Wade to maintain as the law of the land. We need to do that. And we have a right. Extremists, we've heard enough from the extremists. And we're tired of
them. Now, I fully believe that Elizabeth Warren is acting there. None of these politicians actually care about these women at all. They derive power from this issue. Both sides have really derived a lot of power from this issue. But I do not believe there's any honesty in that Elizabeth Warren really gives a crap about any of these girls. She doesn't. So I think this is acting. Again, it goes back to the timing of the release. They were prepared for this. They were ready. Some people have pointed to the pre-printed signs of the spontaneous protests. I don't know. Maybe there's some printers. I've had things printed before. I was never told to come back in an hour. It was usually in a couple of days. But there's all these pre-printed signs out there. Anyway, I smell a rat in the timing of this release. This was just the very end of this clip is the funny part. This is from a local Milwaukee station as they talk about the Roe versus Wade thing.
The University of California, San Francisco's medical center studied these barriers to access. Dr. Ushma Ukabiai says if the Supreme Court draft becomes final, we would likely see more people seeking out unsafe methods of abortion.
We have evidence of that. In the face of greater barriers, people are more likely to resort to harmful means to end their pregnancies.
A study from Duke University shows there would be an overall 21% increase in pregnancy-related deaths, but a 33% increase for Black birthing people.
There you go. Black birthing people. Holy cow. Oh my gosh. I know a lot of Black people. I can't imagine too many of them I've ever heard refer to anybody as a birthing person, but that's where we are now. Here's a funny one. Changing topics here. I've got a bunch of Biden clips. He's had to be out in front of a podium a lot lately, so we've got a lot of listening to his and documenting his mental decline. But he was on fire with this one, said it very clearly and concisely. There's just one small problem with what he said here.
We're here to show the country that we're getting through this pandemic. Plus, everyone had to prove they were fully vaccinated and boosted. So if you're at home watching this and you're wondering how to do that, just contact your favorite Fox News reporter. They're all here. Vaccinated and boosted. All of them.
Woohoo! Yeah, that was interesting. So that was the White House Correspondents' Dinner with Joe Biden. Strangely enough, though, a couple of days later, the Washington Post wrote a story with the headline this. Yes, a lot of White House correspondents' guests are testing positive. The Washington News Media's big annual dinner last Saturday appears to be connected to an outbreak of coronavirus infections, validating concerns that the virus might spread among guests at the event attended by President Biden. Employees of CNN, NBC News, CBS News, Politico, Voice of America, Puck News, and The Washington Post also tested positive, according to social media posts, texts, emails, and news accounts. Among the journalists who publicly acknowledged positive tests are Jada Wan, who covered the dinner for The Washington Post. So there's Joe Biden jumping up and down, telling you that, look at us, we can all get together because we're all vaxxed and boosted and we're all ready to roll. It's a big applause line, and then it turns out that it is a super spreader event. You just... Oh, the vaccine people, they really can ignore a lot of things, can't they, to still hold up that narrative that these things work in any way, shape, or form. We played this earlier in the week. It's hard to watch, but it's so ridiculous. This is This Week on the Crazy Train. What's crazy is that this man is supposedly the leader of the most powerful nation on the planet of Earth.
We're going to seize their yachts, their luxury homes, and other ill-begotten gains of Putin's kleptocracy and the guys who are the kleptocracies. But these are bad guys.
Oh gosh, oh my gosh, holy cow. He also went after people who discriminate against Muslims, giving them a new name.
Every single day, even as they still face real challenges and threats in our society, including targeted violence and Islamic phobia that exists. I mean, it's just astounding. And I won't go into it anyway.
Yeah, it won't go into it because it can't. It's Islamophobia, not that. Here's another fun one of your fearless leader. I want everybody to remember, before Joe Biden was the Vice President of the United States, okay, this is a bit of a trivia question here, before he was Vice President of the United States under Barack Obama, what was his position? You got that in your head? Do you remember what he was before he was Vice President? Well, listen to this.
And I want you to know she works at the University of Delaware at the Biden Institute. So we call that using a point of personal privilege. Now, there have not been many senators from Delaware. It's a small state. As a matter of fact, there's never been one. So I want to take advantage of it.
What? Joe Biden says, let's listen to that again. Now, did you remember what Joe Biden was before he was Vice President of the United States under Barack Obama?
And I want you to know she works at the University of Delaware at the Biden Institute.
Now, when I first heard that, too, the first thing I thought was, well, this is where they should institutionalize this guy. The Biden Institute should most definitely be a mental health facility for old people.
So we call that using a point of personal privilege. Now, there have not been many senators from Delaware. It's a small state. As a matter of fact, there's never been one.
There's never been a senator from Delaware? Do you remember what Joe Biden was before he was Vice President of the United States? He was. That's right. A senator from Delaware. And this is the last one. This takes warmongering and Joe Biden and combines them all into one thing. This is just weird.
President Biden made the case today for billions of dollars of new spending for Ukraine. He toured an Alabama factory that makes javelins. He says the missile has become very popular.
They've been so important. There's even a story about Ukrainian parents naming their children, not a joke, their newborn child, Javelin or Javelina.
Good Lord. Javelin or Javelina. I don't know if that's true. The world is insane enough that that could possibly be true, but that may be the worst wartime propaganda I've ever heard from Joe Biden. We'll be right back.
Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the week. I could hear you out there right now discussing with your coworkers, your family members, where are you going to go eat lunch tonight or today, or where are you going to go out to eat this weekend? I want to recommend to you that you head out to Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right there by Germantown High School. This is our 10-inch and 14-inch brick oven-fired pizzas made the way you want them. You get to pick your toppings. Pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, beer, wine. They got TVs if you want to catch a game. It's just a fantastic place to go. The staff is just super, super friendly and cooperative. Really great staff there. This is a veteran-owned, locally-owned business. You can also get them delivered using another one of the great WYAB sponsors, and that is TakeABreakDeliveries.com. Another locally-owned, veteran-owned business that supports the station here and provides a great service to our listeners. So that's TakeABreakDeliveries.com. You can order your pie there and make sure that you download their app as well. You'll earn points for every order. You will go a lot, so you want to rack up those points where you'll get free pizzas and pastas and desserts, all the kinds of those goodies. So that is Your Pie up in Gluckstadt, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. Express your inner pizza. If you're eating at home, I'm just thrilled to death to have this new sponsor on the station as well, and that is Stonington Farm. You can find them at stoningtonfarm.com. They do grass-fed beef down in South Mississippi, and they are now shipping for free up to the Jackson area. These are bulk purchases of some fantastic and healthy. They're raised with no antibiotics, no hormones. These are cattle that are raised the way God intended to provide the best-tasting meat, and they're treated humanely along the way. I call down there sometimes when I know there's a storm going through South Mississippi, and I ask the farmer, Mike, if he's bringing his cows in to, you know, sing them lullabies and play guitar for them in the living room because they treat their cattle so well. Anyway, it's fantastic food. I've had it. It tastes great. It's raised the right way. It's better for you. And this is a local Mississippi farmer as well. So that's stoningtonfarm.com if you want to get a good quality piece of meat there. I don't have a whole lot of time today, but I can't resist playing this clip one more time. I played it earlier in the week. This is just a great example of a social justice warrior. They can make a lot of noise, not so great at debate.
If you're going to protest something as nebulous as freedom, wrong, then you can't encroach on others.
This is somebody protesting the latest round of freedom fighters up in Canada.
I'm not sure I understand. Is nebulous is freedom?
The concept of a nebulous freedom. They don't have a specific title, a specific reason for being here. They're all over the place, and all they're doing is suppressing Ottawa residents, Ottawa businesses. We are being harassed and held hostage for their supposed encroachments on freedom. What does a single fucking white man have to say to anybody about a bodily autonomy freedom?
I'm not sure what race has to do with it.
I didn't say anything about race.
You said a white man.
Single white man, sure, race.
Okay, so, I mean, what does race have to do with it? When I look at people that are gathering here today, it's right across the...
This is when her brain starts to break. The question where she says, I didn't say anything about race, and he goes, well, you just said white men. You could feel the first cracks in her brain, and then it just completely fell apart here.
Multi-diverse spectrum.
No more comments.
Oh, okay, then. Well, by the way, when it says convoy go home, didn't the convoy go home in February?
They called it a convoy? It's a convoy.
You mean the this gathering here? Is that a convoy?
Please go away.
Okay, then.
No more comments.
All right.
But no more comments.
It just seems to
no
be...
more comments. No 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 more comments.
It's like interviewing a cult machine. No more comments.
Well, that's all the time I've got. I've got time for no more comments. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop.